ABC Radio Australia.
Many Indigenous groups around the world are calling for the repatriation of their cultural artefacts, which were taken without consent and now sit in some of the world's biggest museums. African activist Mwazulu Diabanza has made it his mission to go into museums and forcibly remove stolen African artefacts. It's a very contentious issue, even amongst Pacific communities, and therefore a perfect topic for Talanoa Tuesday. Dr. Teresi Vunidilo is a Fijian archaeologist and curator who specialises in Indigenous museology and heritage management. And she joins me now. Bula Vinaka, Dr. Teresi.
Bula Vinaka, thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
Now, this is a really interesting issue, very contentious, because there are lots of different ways to look at the problem or the issue of repatriating stolen artefacts. So what is your position when it comes to these repatriation of stolen artefacts, and how can it be done well?
Thank you. Yes, I truly support the move for repatriation, and that was why I decided to do my PhD research on the topic. And it really opened my eyes to the reality of what is happening all over the world, including the Pacific. I knew that the Pacific was a place where a lot of artifacts were, artifacts or objects were taken without knowledge of those who owned them before. Some were gifted. Some were directly bought. However, I joined the voices of our museums in the Pacific that we can be able to work together with international collectors and museums if there are possibilities for artifacts to be returned to the Pacific. In my research, I found out that there was a need and also the opportunity for museums in the islands, in the region, to communicate talk to museums overseas. Some of the issues that was raised was that some of the international museums are changing their mind and eager to talk and discuss the possibility of the return of some of our treasures. However, one of the issues that we have in the region is the infrastructures, the museum buildings themselves, and the collection spaces in which if the repatriation process can take place or will take place in the future, then museums in the region should be ready for this to happen.
And I know, I'm personally very guilty of this, because I know that I've been to museums who might have a Pacific collection. You know, you see the tupper cloths and all the things from the Pacific. Yeah. And I've never once thought, hey, going, how did this museum get this? And so there would be lots of different issues in terms of how that item was originally gained, because some of them may have been given with permission for the purpose of, retaining culture and letting more people learn about different cultures. But I find it particularly interesting when we talk about human remains, because I know that, for Māori culture, the toi moko is something, the heads of the literally of living people. And I know that this is work that you do in terms of facilitating the return of human remains from Germany to the Pacific. How much trickier does it get when we're literally talking about returning ancestors?
Yes, it is it's complicated, and also it's very, very sensitive, in which it requires a lot of diplomacy. As soon as we discuss human remains for their return back to our homes or our homeland, in this case, it requires a lot of work alongside the foreign affairs as well as the ministries that deals with government representatives. It has been done, which is a good thing. We look at New Zealand and Australia as two countries that have done human remains repatriation already, which actually paves the way for most of us in the Pacific region, because in the project that I'm part of, which is connected to the University of Göttingen, this project was interesting because they were proactively reaching out. Because the other projects that I've studied and researched is that the Maori people and our brothers and sisters from Australia and everywhere, we actually go out into these museums and plead that these museums, release the human remains for them to be brought back home for proper burial. However, for the project that I'm involved in now, it was very interesting because they were proactively reaching out and saying, hey, we have more than 1,000 human remains here in our collections in Germany, and we want to do the right thing. We want to have them returned to where they were brought from. And so I'm beginning to see there's a change in the tone of many of the international organizations such as universities and museums. And I'm very optimistic that if this project is going to succeed in the way it's doing things at the moment, it might be a good example for other institutions to follow. So in terms of the human remains for Aotearoa, I really give the credit to the Museum of New Zealand Te Papa Tongarewa, where they have a repatriation department. And that is something that each country needs to do. If each museum or national museum have a repatriation team or department that are trained in the field of repatriation, then they can be able to successfully have these human remains returned in its proper traditional manner that it should be treated. Mm. So, that is something that I want to share, that New Zealand has set a wonderful example of the returns from France, from many countries in Europe, from the USA. And if they can do it successfully, then that's a good example for those of us in the Pacific.
Mm. And apart from, what do museums, because obviously they need to be a part of this conversation, but apart from, ethical concerns and, doing the right thing, what is the incentive for them to do it? Because I know that some museums have operations where they go, oh, well, we can loan it back to you. And people were like, well, you don't own it to begin with. You're not in a position to loan. How important is it for museums to be contacting cultural groups, asking what they want and coming up with ways that that suit both parties? And I guess, how do we ensure that museums do want to do the right things? Because museums are also profitable. The fact that they have these collections mean people like me will go and look at them. How do you strike that balance?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think, when it comes to this day and age, a lot of museums are now, doing things in the ethical way. It took a long time. It took a long time, even here in Hawaii, they've been doing repatriation of human remains for over 30 years. I spoke to one of my Hawaiian colleagues, Edward, and, he said he's been working on this project for 35 years. Continuing going over to, Europe and everywhere around the world to bring their ancestors' remains back home. I think for many museums, the time has come where many of them, in this case, in the project that I'm working on, I don't think there's any financial gain. I think from where I'm looking at, they are, in the way that I've been talking to them, they just want to do the right thing. They've realized that over these years, that we have anthropology, that deals with, the study of human remains, that is a very racist type of anthropology. But now as time goes by, they realize, oh, what our predecessors were doing, is not what we actually supposed to be doing. And I hope that what these museums are doing is setting things straight. And if they can benefit from it, maybe through research projects or maybe extra funding to continue this work, maybe that is something that they deserve, because these institutions are wanting to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to celebrate these types of institutions, because it's very rare to see it these days.
Dr. Teresi, I had a conversation with Mark Fennell. He is the host of a podcast, Stuff the British Stole, and literally looks at this issue from all around the world. And I remember something he said during that interview, which was obviously different cultures see things very differently. For example, that African activist that I mentioned before, he was literally just going into museums and taking it, which is obviously a crime, and he has had jail time, fines and all that other stuff. And what Mark Fennell said to me, which has really stuck with me, is that in the interim of, you know, museums getting to the point where they might be in a position to repatriate things, is that in the interim, what museums could do is have more accurate descriptions of those artefacts that when they're shown in the museum, and not just have the polite version that says, you know, this might be a toy moko from this century, this might be this, but have it as a more like, you know, this was taken during colonial rule from these people, and give people a more accurate reflection of how these items were gained. Is that something that you could see in the interim, or are there other interim ideas that you could have, just in the sense that, you know, more responsibility is taken as to how these artefacts were obtained in the first place?
Yes, I think the accurate provenance, you know, it's really, really key. And that is something that even international museums should be partnering with, host institutions like the ones institutions back home. Because some of the artifacts that were collected, many of the collectors didn't even know the purpose of it. They just saw how beautiful it looks, or they saw, oh, this will look good on my, you know, on the wall of my living room. But they didn't actually know what the purpose is and what the names of these artifacts were. And so I have to support what, you know, you've just said earlier with our colleague from Britain in terms of accurate provenance. Really, really important. And if they're honest, you know, with the labelling, that's great, because, you know, the visitors, they have every right to know, you know, where these artifacts came from and how they came to be there. Rather than sugarcoating the labels, you know, they might as well be honest with it, because in that way, that's a step forward to really engaging with the audience as well as the people that own these artifacts in the first place. If I can just give a quick example that we did at the Auckland Museum in New Zealand, they came up with this project called the Pacific Collections Access Project, and it was focusing on Pacific collections only. And we had to go in the case of Fiji, we had to see more than 1,700 artifacts that came into the museum in different circumstances. And it took us about more than a year to go through each artifact. And one thing we noticed was that when we indigenous Fijians were brought in, you know, to work with these artifacts, we brought in a lot of intangible cultural knowledge that the museum didn't even have. So even one thing was the name of the artifacts. A lot of the artifacts just say War Club, Fiji, you know, just general names. But what we did was we came in and actually gave some sort of authority to these artifacts and give them the recognition that these artifacts are important to us. So that was one step. The second step may be then the Fijian community maybe can look at the Auckland Museum to see whether maybe a next step may be the repatriation discussion. Mm-hmm. But I think the accurate provenance is really, really critical from the curator's point of view to share the correct information. But also museums need to engage with the people where those artifacts are from. Mm-hmm. If New Zealand can do it, other museums can do it too.